You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
What a tease.
Welcome to the Man Dog Pod. My name is Ryan Rosenberg, and I'm here with my esteemed colleague, Mr. Daniel Lippert.
Salutations, good Ryan, and hello as well.
What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm good. I want to do this right away before I forget. This reminded me. I came across a TikTok, and it was this woman who was like, someone had commented on her voice, and she responded to the comment because her voice was very soothing and deep. So she responded with a video, and she said, I learned this in an improv class. Find your natural voice.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah. So how do you do it? You go, oh.
Yeah. You take in a deep breath.
Yeah.
And then you sigh out and just on sound, but don't like try to make a sound, you know, like just make whatever sound comes out. And that's right. Your natural voice. And you're supposed to be sitting up straight.
Right. Never going to happen for me.
Never going to happen. I'm going to try it once. Let's see what my natural voice is here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I'm going to do three breaths in here. So this will be exciting. I'll do two breaths. So this is my natural voice. This is where I should be based on that.
I feel like you're
Does
trying
it
to
feel
go
natural to you.
Not at all. You went, and I can hear you totally cheesing.
That's just how it comes out. That's literally like if I just make a sound, that's where it is.
Right. Yeah. That. But you sound like you're using your natural voice.
I don't know what's natural.
I know. How do you make it natural? I don't know. That's natural. That is the octave of your voice for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard to go make a sound, but not on purpose. It's a tough challenge.
Yeah, it is.
That's
Here's
good.
Where I'm. Here. This is where I'm supposed to be. Hey, what's up? I'm Dan, and this is the podcast.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is about where I am.
But you're adding a sad affect. The voice sounds right, but you're adding a sadness.
In trying not to have a thing, I'm making myself sound sad.
Yes, yes. It's really hard. Okay, I'm going to try one too.
All right. Breath in.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's where I am. But when I start talking, I go, yeah. And it goes back up. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard
to
do.
There was the one you just did there was slightly lower, and then you did go higher, yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is what I sound like. But there's a difference between what I sound like and when I'm talking to someone, you know? And I guess that's what she's talking about.
Especially,
well, folks. Oh yeah.
It's in everybody, but it's especially societally trained into women of like the way to speak so people don't think you're aggressive, mean, all of those things.
I definitely think there is a distinct thing for women like that. Absolutely. Do you think that applies to men at all? Because I definitely do that to not be scary. You know what I mean? Like my voice goes higher. So that everybody knows that I'm nice. Like, that's the subtext accidentally.
I think for men, you're right. It's probably a lot of times to not be scary.
Yeah.
And for maybe, like, women, it's to be taken seriously. Like, certain ways of speaking or affectations, you won't be taken seriously in a broader sense of the society.
Right. And
but I think
if
you used
people,
your, quote, scary voice, you would be taken maybe even more seriously.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Interesting. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like whoever taught you that is not the person that you want to be doing the judging.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like that person's an asshole anyway.
Right.
I'd rather you just speak to me frankly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, folks, welcome back to the Man Dog Pod. Today is a big old check-in. We're not going to do any comedy or improv or any of that goofy stuff. We're just
shit.
Two real ass guys talking about how the heck we're doing. This is how I am.
Hey, this is how I am, and this is how I talk. And if you can't handle it, get out of town, asshole.
Yeah, asshole.
Asshole.
But yeah, how are we doing? How are you?
I'm good. I'm really focused on this voice thing. I wish I had gotten where I wanted it to be. Here feels like my natural timbre right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm speaking, it's vibrating in my chest, and I'm speaking kind of from the chest here.
But I think certain inflections are supposed to change based on what you're saying, right? Like when I was like, how are you? I went up and then I got self-critical, but I was like, no, I was trying to go up because I was throwing it to you.
How are
I don't
you?
Really want to go, how are you?
Hey, so how are you?
Yeah, that doesn't feel how I feel.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're trying to act with your voice, your feelings.
Yes, right. But how are you?
And that's a great question. And I'm not doing very well right now.
Yes, I don't know about you, but I'm really struggling right now internally.
Every day is difficult, and I don't really see what I'm working towards.
I'll tell you what, that's a tough place to be. I hear you.
I feel generally pretty good. I do think that the heat is a fucker, and it really is. Yeah. It really fucks it up. But I think this tour is exciting, and it just is hard to be like, everything stopped for 2 years, a year, and then a little bit again. And we've talked about it before. It's like now we're back. But it's like, wait, I remember in those 2 years feeling like I didn't want to go back to my old life.
Right.
And I feel my old life seeping in because I need to make money and, you know, but
sure.
And change happens gradually. I was hoping that I would come out of the pandemic and everything would be different.
Right. And you're kind of feeling like you're getting pulled back down the hill or something.
In a sense. Yeah. But honestly, today I do feel pretty good. That's just a broader, good. Like when I think about the overall things, that's how I
feel. Right. I hear that.
What about you?
I feel okay. I had therapy today, which is sometimes fun, sometimes not. Today was a not that fun one, but it wasn't bad. It was just sort of like, I'm going every other week now. I was going every week. Now I'm going every other week to A, pay less, but B, also like, I feel like I was really using it as a, not a crutch, but like I would put stuff off until therapy day, like thinking about it, you know, and sort of use that as like the place I would do it, almost like compartmentalizing those things. And I was like, well, it might be better for me to like have to deal with it alone a little more, you know? So I'm kind of trying to become my own sort of a therapist a little bit on the off weeks, if that makes sense, to still have at least an hour a week where I, you know, look inward and purposefully think about that stuff, but not always going to see my therapist, if that makes sense. And I've liked doing less, but it just changes it a lot. Cause now when I see her, it's been a long time. you know what I mean? Like, so there's been a trade off with that. And I think it's just hard because I miss the help. You know what I mean? Like, it's good for me, I think, to be a little more self-reliant, but it is an adjustment slightly.
And you feel that you have been able to do the self-reliant stuff? Because I really struggle with that.
I struggle with it, but that's sort of the point is like, well, you know, I don't want to have to use training wheels my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, not to say that it's bad to go. I love going to therapy, you know, but I was like, isn't the point eventually is for me to like be able to self-soothe and have my own back and all that stuff, you know, or even like develop the relationships in my regular life where I would talk to those people about it rather than my therapist, you know. Mm-hmm. A big reason that she was so helpful was because I didn't feel comfortable talking about my feelings with friends or family or whatever. But now that I feel a little bit more open in other parts of my life, I don't have as much stored up to tell her about, I guess. So, I don't know. changing relationship with that feels interesting and also sometimes difficult, but sometimes great.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just thinking about it because it was like 3 hours ago.
Right.
but yeah, and she's great. Wonderful. I thought she was mad at me last week or last time.
Yeah.
And she wasn't, but I brought that up this time being like, are you frustrated with me or something? And she was like, of course not. And it was, of course, me being frustrated and projecting that
right
onto her. You know what I mean?
Was there an energy that you were feeling that, I know it was a projection, but like, was it something that was said that made
you feel that way? She said something that I just took wrong. Like, I assumed an intention behind what she said that she did not have. And I asked her about it this week and she was like, oh, I'm so sorry if it came across that way, but that's the furthest from how I feel. So I was like, okay, cool, great. But I probably should have said it in the last session. So I didn't have 2 weeks to think about how my therapist was mean to me.
Yeah.
Especially since she like wasn't trying to be, you know.
Hard to get to that place that you can do it when it happens in the moment because all of your sensors turn on or all of your like whatever alarm bells turn on and get into a mode that's like not therapy.
Clearly I'm already in a defensive place if I think my therapist is being judgmental of me, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's you, buddy.
Sometimes you do feel like, well, they're for me, it's like, well, she's human. I would judge me for some of these things. So maybe
Exactly. I was like, let's take off the provider / whatever hat and just talk as people. Like, something going on, you know. Anyway, that was a bunch to share on a video.
That's what we're here for.
That is what we're here for.
Let's see. I had one additional thought about that. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, I think we're different people, so yeah. I wouldn't push you to do this if you're like, this isn't me. But I find journaling to be like a huge way to check in with myself that is a lot easier than like sitting and thinking or meditating or even like thinking on walks. I'll find like my brain wandering on all those things, and journaling is like second therapy to me, and I haven't been doing it at all. And this is a good reminder that I'd like to, but do you do that?
It intermittently. I would like a more regular schedule with it, but that is something that I have been using when it's like, oh, I don't really want to talk about this with anybody, but I don't really want to just hold on to it.
Yeah. You know?
And journaling is so good for that because it's like you're talking to somebody.
It really is. And you finally, your thoughts, whatever it is that they're doing in your brain that is like not real, they go on paper and they become real and you can actually like deal with them. For me, the royal.
Totally. League. I think I never knew what it meant to process your emotions and I still can't explain it better. I'm not a technician, but it does seem like that's what happens, right? You like have these feelings that you can't let go of. And then you find a way to process them and they don't bother you as much anymore.
Yeah, totally.
I think writing is a great way to process them. Or talking to a therapist or a friend. Reconnected with my mom a little bit, you know, just out of not being afraid to talk to her. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So that's
nice. Betsy.
Hi, Betsy. I'm sure she's listening. Hi, Mom.
Let's see.
What's going on with you? We had a big engagement party we went to this weekend. We drove together. That was fun. Got to see
that
a bunch
was
of
nice.
Oh, excuse me, I burped. Got to see a bunch of homies and
saw the homies. Yeah, that was nice. It was I've had a few events lately. Maybe this was number 2, maybe like the third where it was like you don't know the guest list. You don't know if you're going unprotected to a thing with a bunch of people you don't know. So there's like the social anxiety of it, of like, all right, am I going to have to make polite conversation or feel like an outsider all night?
Right.
It ended up being, I mean, even just like us carpooling was great. No, a bunch. Obviously, the way it almost always goes is like, it's not what your worst case scenario was. It's a bunch of people that you're. That love you and you love them. And it's nice to chat and catch up.
Totally. Totally. The thing I'm always worried about is, like you said, such a worst case scenario. And how often does your life go like worst case? So not worth it to plan that way.
Yeah, it's very. There was like an article about it sometime in the lockdown that was all about, because I catastrophize. And it was all about that kind of idea of like that controlling people catastrophize. It's like a way of trying to control reality and be like, well, if I can tell myself the worst possible thing, then when it happens, I had control.
Yes.
Instead of just being like, whatever, the worst possible things have happened and I had no idea, and you make it out and deal with it and whatever.
Yeah, and it's just the illusion of control, right? Yeah. Like, you're not controlling the world. It's impossible. But you need to feel like you have some control. So it's like a self, just making sure that you're okay. It's such an interesting thing. I read a thing about that as well that was like, not only does that happen, and it's sort of like a thinking error a little bit, but it's also when you do worst case thinking and then the worst case thing doesn't happen, it kind of hits the reward center in your brain in like an ineffectual way where it goes like, oh, the bad thing didn't happen because I planned for the worst case scenario, but that isn't true. Mm-hmm. The bad thing didn't happen just because life didn't go that way, you know, but it's not because you did all this negative thinking that the negative thing didn't happen. But you're like training yourself that like my anxiety is good for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, oh man, that's like the insidious part of it, is that like you're teaching yourself that what you're doing is helping you, but it's really not. It's like helping your future experience or whatever, but it's really worsening your current experience.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's so confusing. Like before I heard that, it wouldn't have made sense. But now that I have, I'm like, oh, right. Like, it's like it's delusional a little bit. I don't know. Cause I do that too. I'm definitely like wanting to protect myself at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, imagine if you didn't do all that protecting and still it went good.
Yeah. And how much you could have enjoyed the moment to moments of your life that you were instead like slightly suffering through at all times.
Right. Right. That's why that living in the moment thing is so powerful. It's like just living judgment free. You can actually be there for whatever's happening rather than like, I'm a week ahead right now, making sure that meeting is good. And it's like, today stinks, but I'm not thinking about that. It's interesting.
It makes me think about, as you know, I almost read some of a Buddhist book a couple years ago. So
You're so close, but also it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And what it makes me think about that is it's so... I obviously haven't really dug into like the way Christianity is taught. I know a good deal, but not like an extreme amount of Judaism. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting in Buddhism that so much about those ideas are just like the therapy of living life. You know what I mean? Of just like that thing of living in the moment is so important and about surrendering control.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the sense of like surrendering control to God because God made rules and whatever, like, and God will provide, but just like you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting that I don't know that I always speak of like, I'm speaking of like a 1,000-year-old religion that I'm just kind of barely touching on now. So I always get a little embarrassed, cause it's been so deeply thought about, but it's like, it is interesting that to me, it's the only religion I've experienced that is super relatable to just daily issues, and that people were thinking about these things before they had their phones to be distracted by or TV or whatever. It was always an issue to be like, oh, I hope in 3 weeks, like the guy in the hut down the street doesn't run into me and talk about how my hut looks weird, you know?
Right. It's like, hey man, do you think your hut looks weird? Do you want to fix it? Then just do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to blame it on the other guy. It's what you think. Yeah. It's one of my favorite philosophies because it's one of the only ones that I've heard that's like, here, use this. You don't have to become one of us. Like all the other ones are like, you can try to use this, but it'll never work unless you come over here.
Right.
And it's like, well, that seems like a lie. You know, like it seems so easily debunked. But then Buddhism, they're like, yeah, take it or leave it. I mean, thousands of years of experience would say that this would help, but that's up to you. And yeah. that makes me like want to try it so much more.
Like at the party, do you want to talk to the person who's like, hey, so here's some stuff I've been thinking about and it's really interesting to me or whatever. Or the person that's like, hey, I figured it out. You got to know. You got to know and you got to do yes. it like me.
Yes.
And it's like, well, chill out, dude.
Right, right. It's the difference between being like invited and being forced. You yeah. know? Even like when I was disciplined as a kid, like if you didn't do it right, I was not going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. But if you were kind, it was like, oh, they must be looking out for me because they're being nice. But if you were being mean and trying to teach me, I was like, okay, this person's wrong.
Yeah.
This person's wrong and frustrated, and I'm not being how they want me to be. But that's not, like, important.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so frustrating for an adult who's, like, not in touch with themselves or their yes. ability to, like, control those frustrations to be, like, even matter, you know, that it's not working. Yeah. It's like, why doesn't it work yeah. when I'm mad at you? It's like, well, it works at something, but I don't think yeah. it's the thing you want.
I definitely shut up. That's for sure. That you so you got me there. Yeah. Well, I love that you're interested in that kind of stuff. It's so first, it makes you a really great person.
And that's the most important part.
Second, it makes you look like a really great person.
Yeah.
And that makes me look really good through association.
You're friends with another Buddhist. Yeah.
No, but I love it. It's very. It's brought me some peace for sure. So anybody yeah. who wants to, yeah, and I'll say this: the way that I have gotten into it best. They make these tiny books that are like literally this big, smaller than a portion of food you should eat.
Yeah.
And it's just like collections of all the best Buddhist
sayings.
All the
best Buddhists. I was looking behind me because one of them that you gave me is somewhere behind me.
Right.
I don't see it right now.
One of my favorite writers on the Buddhist thing is Jack Kornfield. He's really great. And then Pema Chodron is also mm-hmm. really, really wonderful. And Pema does a lot of these really good talks that I've listened to because I'm a little bit, it's more humanized if someone's saying it than if I'm yeah. reading it or something. So her talks are super, super helpful. I would look up those guys.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah. And to the audience. And this is one more thing. I've never asked him, but you know, Seth Morris, yeah. hilarious comedian, friend of the pod. He has that character, Bob Duca, you know, that's all about how much he can be hurt or whatever. Yeah. The character sounds just like Jack Kornfield on his like book readings or whatever.
Funny.
And Duca in Hindu or whatever it is, I'm not that well versed, is the word for pain. So pain. I've always wanted to ask him, like, did you listen to a bunch of Buddhist books and like want to do a Jack Kornfield character? And then it's all, I don't know.
I bet that's probably exactly it.
Right. I was listening to Jack Kornfield one day and he sounded so much like one of my favorite comedy characters. Yeah. And it was like, took some of the realness out of it.
Right. it's hard to take Jack Kornfield serious anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, good to talk about that stuff. Where do you find the time to think about those right. things? By the way, I found that I like to do a little nervous thing in my hands. Oh, and so I have this near me. By the way, 3 inches is pretty big.
It's huge.
Look
oh, my
this.
God. That's actually longer than I thought. And can yes. I say this? Thicker, too?
Yeah. Something to think about.
Something to think about how long 3 inches is and how it's actually not short or disappointing.
Let's fucking go.
Those are my favorite videos. My favorite ones.
Guy on YouTube or on TikTok who duets women saying things like 3 inches is pretty big. And he goes, let's fucking go.
I mean, it's genius.
It's great.
TikTok is genius. It's just genius. And it's also maybe a bad influence on the planet.
Sickening. And
but at least it allows you to see other geniuses that you wouldn't see otherwise.
I came across at like 3 a.m. or whatever, Johnny Depp Mexicano, and it's just a guy, he never talks, he dresses up like Johnny Depp, and he just plays music, and he just politely puts his hands together when you give him hearts or whatever.
And he's all vibe.
He just mouths along to like 80s metal, like Paradise City and like Joan Jett, and he just like sometimes doesn't know the words, and you can tell he just starts mouthing it like just to get through them.
And I just love the straightforwardness of the name.
It's
and that there's nothing else on top of it.
That's all I'm doing is I'm a Mexican guy, and this is Johnny Depp that I'm dressed like.
It almost feels like, all right, but like, keep going. You know, like, what are you going to do? You know, like,
yeah, it's like, are we going to hear the Depp? Are you going to have an opinion of anything? It's right. Like, I just dress right. Like him, and I have the goatee, and I nod.
Sometimes I'm so jealous of people who will just allow themselves. You know, like, I'm always kind of saying, like, I'm not good enough, or this thing I make isn't good enough, or whatever. And that dude just does not have that problem.
It's, well, I that's a much more optimistic view of it. To me, I'm imagining he's got his little apartment. He's, like, got not a ton of friends.
Sure.
And he needs social interaction, and he needs check. To feel good about himself.
Check.
And the thing he needs to feel, the way he wants to feel good about himself, the only way he is aware of that right. people will give him love is that he looks like Johnny Depp.
Right.
He doesn't do a Johnny Depp impression.
No.
He doesn't do anything creative, but he goes, 1,000 people across yes. the world will look at me and yes. fave my thing. Just right. And so he sets up his little corner of his house. He has his little Johnny Depp costume he gets into.
I love it.
He does the lighting perfectly.
I don't think you should have to do more. It's enough so, for me.
there was one I was, now I get like more lives. And they're all, because they really blow my mind. Because then, this guy's on Instagram Live, so you can watch him live in the moment while he's sitting there doing it. And then you scroll down. You can
watch him do nothing.
You do live. Nothing. You scroll down, and like the next thing is a guy who has a telescope pointed at the sun showing you solar flares and just going right. like, this is incredible. Feel free to share it with everyone. You can clip out my ugly mug. I just think right. that what's happening here is so beautiful and I wanted to share it with the world.
Which one are you more interested in?
Johnny Depp Americana.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love
they
that
should
it,
partner
that they
with
be
each
equal.
Other.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the next one you scroll down is a woman who's like in her kitchen wearing no bra, and she's just like, yeah, I'm just going to get some milk now. Right. All right, I'm making eggs. And like 1,000 people are watching being like, you look awesome.
That's what I'm saying. I wish I could do incredible. Something that simple. I have gone to school forever to learn how to be funny. And then if it's not even a funny enough episode where I'm working my ass off, I'm like, let's not even post it. That sucks. But these people are just like, I'm in the kitchen getting milk. Do you love me? And people are like, yes.
I do.
Yes.
Right. I do for the next 30 seconds and I'll never think of you again.
Right. But that works. I don't know. It's just very interesting.
I want to see if I can get my lives up right now and just see like what the first three that come up are. I don't know how to find the live though.
Let me ask you this. Absolutely
yeah.
do that.
Yeah,
what is ahead. The most boring or the least thing that you could do that you would still do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if you had to do a live like this and the goal was you have to do almost nothing? What would you do?
One guy had the camera like, here, I'm trying to show you, like up here. Mm-hmm. Just laying in bed, camera up above him, basically where my camera is now.
Yeah.
It's a little, it's asleep. He's got a sign above him. He says, yes, I really am asleep. This is my Instagram handle. Enjoy. And he just put a camera up while he slept at night. And he would put it on Instagram Live. And right. just 1,000 people would just be watching this guy sleeping. It's
there
really
is
crazy.
Something fascinating about it. Did you ever watch that like Shiba Inu cam?
No.
There was like a camera that's set on like a pen of like, you know, 12 Shiba Inu puppies. And it's just a live stream that is forever. It's just always on and you can always check in on it. And it's just like what the puppies are into.
Yeah.
Or what they're doing, how they sleep on each other. It's one of the cutest things ever. And there's no like interaction. You just sort of watch it. And it's like, I can't explain why it's worth my time to do this. But it is.
It's soothing. Yeah. Why is it?
There's something soothing about Johnny Depp then. There must be.
It must be, especially Mexicano. I I did that with the Fat Bear cam, which should be up and live pretty soon. It's just a camera on a waterfall, somewhat blurry. You can go to the YouTube and just watch these bears try to catch salmon. And some of them are just having a bath. And it's just...
genius.
You write little stories about them. That's all right, I'm cute. On live. Mm-hmm. This one's got 2,600 people are watching it right now. It is a guy chopping wood.
That's a good one. I think I might have seen that guy before.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I've seen that guy in a series of videos of he'll chop the wood and then women will like duet it and go like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Or be like, I'm so wet. Or like,
that makes whatever. Sense. All right.
Oh so yeah, chop it. Chop it like that. Like that's how it'll be.
2,800 people watching chopping wood. This guy's showing everyone his watch.
Right. See, but like at least these people have a thing that they already do that they can show people. Like this wood chopper, that makes so much sense because he's probably got to chop the wood. So you might as well set up a camera. I don't have anything like that that isn't like, all right, I'm going to do a show. Everybody be entertained. Like,
well, you like to, what about you walking around the house singing Isley Brothers?
That could be a thing. Yeah, that could be a thing.
You just cooking and singing soul music.
So strange. And we're all just giving up our attention. The only thing we have.
4,200 people are watching this person take the shell off an egg.
Wow. Who and how? Like, how did they get here? It's so bizarre.
What a world. Anyway.
What do you think your boring thing is that you would do? I was saying Isley's. It's almost too entertaining.
Solving crosswords. I spend a lot of my day on the crossword. That's my like.
You do.
I don't want to be on social media, but I do want to be on my phone, and I just want to turn my brain off.
Yeah. I always assume you'd be good at a crossword, but I don't, because they're not social. I've never seen you do them.
Yes. I like to thank you for assuming. I like to do crosswords, and a lot of crosswords is like a language that you just have to figure out. Like the reason they're hard is there's just some words that you realize are there, or like the way they're structured and stuff.
Right.
So it's like getting past that. But that would be a relatively like, quote, boring thing that I could probably do and set up a camera and do a live one.
I bet you would instantly have more followers than Mandog. Instantly.
You might be right.
And that's not that I think it's better. It's just that I think it's like it's more digestible and like more niche, you know? Like I think that's what works.
You could turn on and off whenever. Like a podcast, it's like, all right, I'm signing up for a half hour, an hour, whatever.
Yes.
You just would do it across where you just go, oh, I'll watch this until I'm bored.
Right. It's the same way that I watch like chiropractor videos all the time. That is like, nobody should be in the room with these people.
Yeah.
But why am I fascinated by it?
Yeah.
You know, but I really got hooked because the first guy I saw was this guy from Houston. And he was an old white guy who was like, all right, now we're going to get y'all fixed up now. Here we go. All right. We're going to pull your head out of your back. You feel that? And so it was like watching a character sort of, and I got the satisfaction of people going like, oh, that feels better. I think I want someone to like make my body feel better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Would you rather watch chiropractor videos or massage videos?
Chiropractor.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not in it for the gross stuff. You know what I mean? Even though all these chiropractor videos end up just being like people in sports bras.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, some of us are here for the fucking cracks, okay? Some of us here aren't
I'm
fucking perverts and we're just
crack
interested.
Videos.
Yes. Some of us are just interested in chiropractic work.
So this is... I can't figure it out. Maybe I should be leaned forward. This is the most comfortable position for my back right now in this moment. Mm-hmm. Don't like the way it looks on camera, really. I don't like this part of my little tit right here. I know nobody's looking, maybe everybody is, but
I
like,
can't even see it. Yeah.
Little hanger. Okay, you can't see it there. That's what I want these Buddhism books to tell me about is what do you do about your little tit hanging down when you're 36
Well, they're
guy?
Just gonna tell you to stop caring. They're just gonna say don't worry about it. But well, the whole point is I'm
work.
Worried about it. Exactly. I know. Well, the other things, if you read enough of those books, they're going to say like, you know, don't overindulge, get a lot of sleep, wake up in the morning and do your chores. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All the things I don't want to do. Yeah.
Buddha
so you're saying
like a
have
a fucking hard ass, dude.
Yeah. Buddhism's a fucking coach at a D1 football school. You know what? Can we bring it back to Buddhism?
Yeah.
The reason that the one idea that really got me into it speaks to this whole like non-dogmatic thing or whatever. But I went to Thailand for a friend's wedding and we went and took a tour of this Buddhist temple, right? And we saw this thing about the master of meditation. And he's this guy who I guess could meditate for 3 days, no food, no sleep, no whatever, you know, and because he was so in control of himself that he could, whatever. Doesn't matter. But they were saying, they talked about this idea of living without condition, that they were saying like most, you know, Buddhist monks or whatever are vegetarian because they're not trying to like kill other sentient beings all the time or whatever. But also their life runs a lot on like donation and like what is available that is offered to them, right? So though they might prefer a vegetarian thing, if they were offered meat or something like that, they would still eat it because it goes more with living without condition, that like you accept an offering that was given to you that is going to nourish you and all of that stuff, than to follow your condition of like, this type of food does not live up to my standards or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting that they like have these rules, but the most important thing is that you're like not too dogmatically anything, you know? And that was a very attractive idea to me of like...
That is an attractive idea.
You should definitely choose your things, but you shouldn't let it fucking freak you out all the time if it doesn't go your thing.
You know?
And it's like, oh yeah, that's a good way to live of like, try your best, but when things go wrong, it's not a huge catastrophe. You just keep trying your best, you know? And that was very attractive to me.
And it removes good and bad. The idea of like...
Judgment.
I'm a vegetarian. That's good. Mm-hmm. Meat is murder, period. It's like, oh, right. It's just what's happening. Yeah.
And this meat is already meat. It's not a chicken anymore.
Right.
It is now pieces of chicken. Right. You know, it's like accepting what is already true, you know?
I go to monasteries with a bunch of porn and meat, and I go, hey, that's the offering, dude.
Hey, buddy. So you're telling me, as a Buddhist, you're not going to jerk right now?
Bald bastard.
And they have to. They have to.
They have to.
They have to, or else they're full of shit. They got to take off their robe right there.
Looks like someone's living with condition.
I'll make you take off your robe right now if you don't want to do it. I'll make you. Yeah, I punk monks. That's sort of my thing. I found out how funny it
monk
is.
Punk.
And I punk monks. It's amazing. I spent years in the monastery, actually, but I found it was way harder to do all their rules and super easy to just punk them and you get really famous.
You get famous. Everyone thinks it's hilarious. You get remembered, which is great. Yeah. You get money, which I love.
I love it. I love it. Anyway, I shut down that monastery, burnt it down, and I built a playland. It's awesome.
The playland.
That was one of the. That was a place that kids had birthday parties in my hometown.
It was called Playland.
It's called Playland. They had like, you know, like a McDonald's play place inside of it, but also like bumper cars and, you know, little things like that.
Go-karts, skee-ball.
Go-karts, skee-ball, etc. Like an early Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playland. Play place, playland.
Pretty straightforward.
Wow, a couple of Buddhists. Yet again, we have ended an episode. And here's the thing, is Ryan and I are like the Bodhisattva, where we are nearing nirvana right at the end of this episode.
Absolutely.
However, it would not be within the teaching of Buddhism for us to leave you all behind and go to nirvana without bringing you all with us. So we will stay here. Mm-hmm. And we will continue the podcast, much like the Bodhisattva, so that you can all reach nirvana with us. We could be done. We're there.
Yes. Let the podcast be the tree you sit under to ponder what life is.
And we appreciate your support. Much like the Buddhists, we work on donation and offerings. So any offerings you have, please send them
send us
away.
A cheeseburger. We will not conditionally accept.
Yeah, I'm the guy at the monastery who's like, what did they offer? Is anybody coming up with that cheeseburger? I read about a cheeseburger in one of these stories.
I mean, we're kind of all masters of meditation, right? Why do they keep giving everything to Jared?
And it's
Jared
not like,
doesn't share that much. He's got a big mound of stuff he can't eat over there.
This isn't ego and jealousy. It's pointing out a thing that's really happening.
Yes. You can get around it being your ego if you're right.
Fuck Jared, right, guys? Fuck Jared.
Fuck Jared, dude. Master of meditation. More like master of bullshit. He's got everybody convinced. You buy
hey, Jared, this. Yeah, buy yeah.
this stuff. Jesus isn't anywhere in this book, dude.
Did you even know that?
Well, Dan, I love you very much. It's love always very too. Nice to check in with you. I will echo your sentiments. Thank you to our lovely audience. We hope that you reach nirvana with or without us, because you are just simply us in another form.
Wow.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. And we're you, and we're nirvana, and we're going on tour right now. We're touring Nevermind.
And it does smell like Teen Spirit in here, if you know what I mean. My deodorant. But thank you. We love you. Thank you. Big shout out to, of course, Brian Holmes, Hannah Rehack, of course, Casey Trela, Annie Wu, everybody that helps Kaylee us make Cuoco. Our show and makes it cool. Shout out to Kaylee Cuoco and your big pants. She only wears big pants now. Have you noticed that?
Are you talking about that commercial she's in? Or in yeah,
it's in the commercial she's in. It's in the flight attendant. Her thing seems to be big pants.
I'm only doing big pants scripts. Throw the rest out.
I love the character, but I'm not loving the description.
What's it? She wears pants, and what's implied there is not big, because you would say big.
You're missing a pretty, I'll say it, big adjective.
Big ups to Kaylee Cuoco's pants, and we'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.